The question I get asked as I head out the door on some days is, what are you wearing? All right, you're getting there. The question asked of movie stars as they head down the red carpet is, who are you wearing? The answer to this question will be different for each of us because of the many roles we have in our lives. We could be a spouse, a parent, a child, grandparent, grandchild, doctor, dentist, lawyer, pastor, and like some of you, ministers. Or any of other thousands of roles. There is one answer that all of us who have come to faith have. We are the body of Christ. There are no barriers of class or ethnic segregation. The Christian identity includes all of us. And that is the point that Paul is making in Galatians 3. Paul specifies the dimensions of the universal body of Christ. Its height reaches to God. Its depth reaches into baptism in Christ. We are forever loved and accepted. It is wide enough to bring natural enemies together. And it is long enough to trace back to the ancestry of Abraham. All who are in Christ and know the Savior's redeeming love become members of this family. This passage is a commentary on the struggle between law and grace through faith. The law teaches people about God and a variety of other things, and brings us face to face with our sin. But it also keeps us locked up in sin. The law does not provide for a remedy from our sin. In the Old Testament, sacrifices could not provide for salvation because they had to be repeated again and again. The animals were sacrificed. They had to be perfect in the eyes of the priest. And the priest also had to atone for his own sins as well as the sins of other people. But Christ, the ultimate remedy for our sin, provides a way to receive the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. Will you pray with me? Holy God, in these few moments that we have together, be in my head, be in my mouth, be in all of our ears that we might hear what you would have for us to do and to be. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray these things. Amen. A few years ago, a show came out on the BBC television called What Not to Wear. And the show with the same name also aired in the United States. The premise of the show was that two fashion consultants, Stacy Landon and Clinton Kelly, would come and video a person who had been nominated by their family and friends as a fashion disaster. The consultants would comb over this video and comment on what the person was wearing, how bad it looked, how it did this and that to their figure and their persona. And then they would show up at their home or their work and get them to agree to a 2-day shopping spree and a makeover. The beginning of their journey with the nominee was always a run-through of their current wardrobe, during which most of it was tossed. In our scripture today, we read of another wardrobe makeover, but of a very different kind. Paul has written a letter to the church at Galatia, And in that letter is where we find our scripture for today, and a lesson with 3 points: clothing, culture and class, and Christ. So let's talk about the clothing. In verse 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ." It's an interesting term, clothed yourself with Christ. It comes from the translation of the Koine, the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. So we go back to the original Greek, to clothe. And it's pronounced in duo. Very good. And what this word means is to put on the garment and sink into it. Have you ever had a really nice shirt or a sweater, and it just feels so good to sink right into it? When I was working for the law firm a few years ago, I attended a conference, and I stayed in a hotel. And it was a super nice hotel. We're not talking the Motel 6. We're talking fancy comforters on the bed, a refrigerator in the room, smelly good bathroom stuff that would somehow reproduce itself when I leave. But there was this big, fluffy white robe. And when I would return in the evening from the conference sessions all day long, sitting in those air-conditioned rooms, I'd go back to the room, jump in a very hot shower, and then put on that robe. Ah, warm up. That robe was the best thing in the whole world. I literally sank into it and then, of course, put a bunch of covers on me. I didn't want to go anywhere or do one more thing. I was at one with my robe. That's what in duo means, to sink into. But there's more. You see, Paul, being well familiar with Roman culture as he was when he wrote this passage, was not referring to a hotel robe. Most cultures have rites of passage, subtle ways of making socially, religiously, or culturally statements. You're no longer a child. You're grown up. Jews, for instance, had bar mitzvahs for boys and bat mitzvahs for girls at about the age of puberty, which is when rites of passage usually take place. The reference in Galatians 3:27 that we just read, "You have clothed yourself in Christ," almost certainly refers to a Roman rite of passage. A young man would don a special toga signifying manhood at about the age of puberty, using references to various cultures and the familiar idea of desiring our children to grow up. Paul is helping us to long for our own spiritual maturity. Paul is saying, don't wear that anymore, because now that you are clothed in Christ, you get to wear this. Paul wants us to see ourselves as mature persons in Christ, growing up in Christ, no longer being immature, not being tossed back and forth by the waves. Don't wear the garments of immaturity. And so with that, we move on to culture and class. Verse 28 says, "There's neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, in a day when we all strive for diversity in the world, this may be a tough concept for some of us to swallow. But you see, Paul is telling us essentially that we are all the same in Christ. In the greater scheme of things, culture doesn't matter in Christ. So why would Paul want to talk to us about this? Because the people of that day were using their religious heritage and their culture and their upbringing and their classes as symbols of status. I'm better than you are. I'm closer to God than you are. I am a Jew, and so I'm more important because Christ came to me first. That's what they were doing, both in society and in the churches. And along comes Paul and says, not so. None of that matters. What matters is Christ. It's the same concept as putting others' needs above our own. In his interview with Diane Sawyer, Robin Williams said, "The thing that matters is others. It's what some call the Buddhist gift, but what I call the Christian gift. Ego, bye-bye. Self, bye-bye." There are a lot of amazing people out there to be grateful for, and a loving God. That's what life is about. So understand what I'm getting at here. It's not that we individually don't matter to God. Certainly we do, but not over anyone else. That's it right there. We all matter to God together as one. So Paul says, take all of that preference that you throw around and be done with it. Don't wear that anymore. That's not you. The very things that we use to define us can sometimes divide us. And finally, Christ. I think sometimes it is rather precarious to refer to the Church of the Palms as an open and affirming church, or a social justice church, or that church that has the best, whatever it is, whatever's going through your mind right now. You fill in the blank. It is far more important that we put on Christ, follow Christ, to be one with Christ. That will ensure meaningful, transformational ministry to all of humanity and creation. That makes us one in the universal body of Christ. Verse 29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Christ. Let's sink down in Christ. When we go out of this sacred space and into our city and our neighborhoods, our community centers, may we wear Christ. Let us take this holy and sacred out into our community. Amen. Amen. Amen.